This is Backspace number 23, The Adventure of a Lifetime. In the very first Backspace podcast, I talked about how the core series of novels got started in a hospital recovery room. However, the idea for the underground world of the core actually goes back to 1982, when a friend at college decided he just had to have the latest Apple II computer. So he sold me his Capro II, the world's first portable computer, although it was more known by myself and other owners as the luggable computer, for it weighed almost 30 pounds and was housed in a metal box about the size of a small car tire. Still, I was very proud of my Capro II and dutifully lugged it about the campus, bragging about its incredible 64 kilobytes of RAM. Yes, kilobytes. My current laptop has 16 gigabytes, the equivalent of about 250,000 Capro IIs. After carrying my computer around for a few weeks, my arms got tired and my friends grew weary of listening to me brag, so I decided the Capro deserved its own special computing room at home. At the time, we were renting a shack that was built in 1921 as a warehouse for sacks of flour. Adjacent to the open space we used as the living room was a small storage closet, and I converted that room into my study to house my new computer. I also inherited a shoebox full of 5 1/4 floppy drives. Flipping through that stack, I found one labeled Adventure. I still clearly recall the night I loaded that disk into the floppy drive, dropped the latch into position, and listened to the sound of it loading up, that loud clicking and grinding you swore would result in a tatter of frayed plastic when you later ejected the disk. A short time, in 1982 computer terms, time enough for a coffee, the small CRT screen came to life and the green letters came into focus and told me, "You are standing at the end of a road before a small brick building. Around you is a forest. A small stream flows out of the building and down a gully. I will be your eyes and hands. Direct me." I just stared at the screen. I was wondering how it was even possible for someone to invite me to wander around a world they had created. So I began typing 1- and 2-word directions. Go south, pick up, open door. And before long, I was drawn deep into a world that had been modeled on the Mammoth Cavern in Kentucky, where the creator of the game, William Crowther, had explored for many years. He created his game for his kids and then put it out as a free game on what was an early precursor to the internet. A man working at Stanford University, Don Woods, found the game on a school computer and contacted William, and together they improved the game until it brought the fledgling computer industry to its knees for a few weeks because the technicians, who were supposed to be working on programming, were instead caught up in the game and trying to solve the puzzles. As I typed away in my small dark room, I was sucked into their fantasy world. My heart beat faster as I was warned, "It is now pitch black. If you proceed, you will likely fall into a pit." Thankfully, I had enough sense to pick up a lamp earlier that had been left on the cavern floor, so I quickly typed in, "Light lamp." And my lamp came on, and I discovered I was standing at one end of a vast hall. A wide stone staircase leads downward. The hall is filled with wisps of white mist, swaying to and fro almost as if alive. A cold wind blows up the staircase. So I kept typing and moving forward, but in my mind, I was there. I could see the fog, feel the cold wind, and creep forward until I found a debris-filled room, filled with stuff washed in from the surface. A low, wide passage with cobbles becomes plugged with mud and debris here, but an awkward canyon leads upward and west. A note on the wall says, "Magic word, XYZZY. As I related earlier, I had been raised on reading science fiction books, and because we did not own a television, had developed a powerful imagination, and the realistic descriptions of the cave had me so engrossed that when my wife opened the door behind me, I jumped out and fell out of the closet study. Readers know all too well that text on a page is a powerful catalyst for the human imagination. Even now, as I turn my novels into an audiobook, I am continually asked when the written books will be available, as they want to enter the story on their own, just as I did all those years at my Capro computer. The difference I found that when I was fully inside the story, not sure of where it would go, unable to skip ahead to relieve the tension, and completely dependent on what my next decision would reveal, it became highly addictive. I am told that when the game came out, because it was free online, it spread like wildfire, and a good number of students, who only had access to a computer at school, failed to graduate, as they were too engrossed solving the puzzles to get their assignments done on time. In my case, the game sent me running to the college library, but only to grab whatever books I could find on caves and caving. I was hooked on knowing as much as I could discover about the hidden world below our feet. It has been observed that in comparison to the games we have today, Adventure on my Capro II is like comparing an early biplane to a Boeing 777. That being said, I have taken a ride in a 1940 Waco open cockpit biplane, and I would do that again any day. The game is now available as a free app and is still an enjoyable adventure. Stephen Levy, the computer tech guru, says playing adventure games without tackling this one is like being an English major who's never looked at Shakespeare. This has been Backspace number 23, the story behind the core series. Thanks for listening.